festival in the church year that is based on a doctrine instead of an event. It's on a teaching of the church instead of on something that happened in the life of the church. I like to call it the Sunday of head-banging theology. So, and I'd like to invite anybody who understands the Trinity to just come on up and share what you know. I mean, it's just one of those things that is so hard to wrap our heads around. And I have also mentioned, I think, in the past, or maybe you've picked up, that pastors' lives on social media may be a little bit different from many of yours, because we tend to pick up things in social media that I discover a lot of non-clergy may not share with such joy as we do. I don't know how many of you have seen the little Facebook video about St. Patrick trying to explain the Trinity. Has anybody seen that, except the people I've shown it to? those of you who were here for Foundations last week, we watched this video as we were talking about the articles of the Creed. So this is a Facebook video, and I just want to say it comes from a site called Lutheran Satire, and the owner of this site is Missouri Synod. I just want to lift that up. So, you know. And it's this video, it's a caricature, it's an animation of St. Patrick trying to explain the Trinity to two Irish peasants. And I'm going to say two things here. I'm going to roll into an Irish brogue while I'm doing this, but you kids don't try this at home because Irish people really hate it when we fake Irish accents in front of them, I've discovered. But sometimes I can't help myself. So there we go. So in this video, St. Patrick is trying to explain the Trinity. These two peasants come to him and say, "So Patrick, tell us about this Trinity." And Patrick says, "Well, the Holy Trinity is like water. It's like water where you can have ice or you can have water or you can have steam, and they're all water." And one of the peasants says, "Hold on there, Patrick. I'm going to stop you right there, Patrick. That's modalism." And Patrick says, "Modalism? Modalism, Patrick, that's heresy. Modalism is the idea that God is simply the three persons of the Trinity, or simply God being God in three different ways. That's heresy, Patrick. Get your act together, Patrick. Try again." And Patrick says, "Oh, well, okay, let's see. The Holy Spirit is like the sun, where there's the sun, and then there's the light, and then there's the heat." And the other Irish says, "I'm going to stop you right there, Patrick. Now you're preaching Arianism, Patrick." Patrick says, "Arianism? Arianism, Patrick. It's the heresy that says that the Son and the Holy Spirit are not equal with the Father, but they come from the Father, but they're not the same as the Father. Just the way the heat and the light are not actually the Son, but they're produced by the Son. That's heresy, Patrick." And of course, in this video, they give the counsel and the date of each heresy, but I can't remember all those. So then Patrick says, Okay, the Holy Spirit is like this shamrock, which has three..." "No, Patrick. Patrick, now you're preaching partialism. Partialism, that each person of the Trinity is only one part of the God, and that all three together make up God. That's heresy, Patrick." And Patrick says, "Okay, all right. Well, okay, the Holy Spirit is like a man can be a father and a husband..." "Modalism again, Patrick. Okay, well, it's like the apple. Partialism again, Patrick." And Patrick finally says, "All right, it's a mystery. We can't understand it. All we can do is confess it." He says it much more lengthy than that. And they go, "Well, why didn't you say so? Okay, so let's go celebrate our conversion." I love this video because, in part, I will confess, I have preached every one of those heresies in my attempts to understand and put into words what we mean by the Trinity. I have preached every one of those heresies. Sometimes I think I've preached them knowingly. Most of the time, not. But this desire to understand what this relationship is, what the Trinity means, it's so core to our faith, and yet we cannot find words to express it. Every time we try to describe the Trinity, we end up with a heresy, meaning we end up with a description that is too small. It's too small. We cannot put this relationship of that which is God into mere human words. We can't do it. So why do we try? Well, we try so that we understand as much as we possibly can about God. But our mistake comes when we start believing that our faith depends on our ability to comprehend and explain, well, God. When our faith depends on our ability to correctly explain and define God, then we're in trouble. Because the Trinity is a mystery. Some of you are old enough to remember that old George Carlin routine where he's talking to the priest and the priest, everything, says, "It's a mystery, George." That was an unsatisfying response, but it is what we have. It's a mystery. We cannot understand the fullness of what we mean when we talk about the Trinity. We are talking about a God who is beyond us, who is fully God. We are talking about a God who was enfleshed and walked with us. And yet while this God walked with us, God was still the God of the cosmos. And they were not separate, and they were not merely two modes of God being God. We talk about a God who dwells within us in the Holy Spirit. And yet when the Holy Spirit is active, Jesus still is, and God the Creator still is. And we don't understand how the relationship works. We just know that we have experienced all of these things. But that raises the question, what is the point of confessing something you can't understand? I mean, what sense does that make, really, to confess something that we admit we don't understand? This seems incredibly counterintuitive and counterproductive. How can we say we confess something which we cannot understand? Well, in part, it is to remind us. It is to remind us to continue to grapple with the question, where do I see God active in my life? It is to force us to continue to grapple with the question, where do I see God active in the world? And it is to remind us, every time we ask ourselves that question, it is to remind us that the God we confess is greater and bigger and more than our ability to comprehend. And the reason we confess this is because we desperately need that God. We need a God who is bigger. We need a God who is bigger than the Korean crisis. We need a God who is bigger than gun violence. We need a God who is bigger than our sins. We need a God who is bigger than my individual sins, but we need a God who is bigger than our corporate sins. Our sins of genocide and violation of the creation and all kinds of things. We have big sins in our world. Some of them we participate in together, and some of them are just all my fault. But they're all big, and we need a God who's bigger. We need a God who is so big that God has the pattern and the connections and the interweaving of the entire created multiverse within God's mind and heart. We need a God that big that knows how everything works and should work. We need a God who is close. We need a God who is intimate, who knows what it's like, who walks with us. We need a God that we realize knows what my life is like, but even more so, we need a God who knows what my neighbor's life is like when I don't, and calls me to see and know my neighbor, whether I know their name or not. We need a God of intimacy and closeness that we can trust. And we need a God who gives us courage, who dwells within us, who energizes us, who stirs us to life, who calls up our baptism within us with every single breath we take. We need a God of wisdom and power who will teach and guide us. We need a big God. And I don't understand the Trinity, But I believe that God is working in ways I cannot put a name to. And the doctrine of the Trinity reminds me of that. And so instead of stressing me out because I can't understand it, it gives me hope and courage that as deep and great as my fears and my need are, as much as I dread my death and hope for my rising, as much as I long for wholeness and do not see it, I have a God who is greater than my fears and my need and my death. We have a God who is greater. And this God calls us to testify. This God calls us to testify to that which we cannot understand, but in which we believe. Because we do believe in a God of goodness. And we do believe in a God of love. And because I believe that this God is mighty and that this God is close and that this God dwells within my heart to give me courage, because I believe in this God, then we, you and I together, dare to live into the life that God calls this world into. We dare to testify to those things. We dare to testify to goodness and hope. And we find courage and energy, and sometimes we get poked when we're too complacent because God is bigger than we can define. I need a God who is bigger. And beloved, you need a God who is bigger than we can understand. And just because we cannot define or understand the fullness of God, that does not mean that we cannot believe in God. Because we have seen and known the truth of this grace and mercy. And we have seen and known the truth of this love and restoration. And I don't understand it. But God never asked us to define it. Not with complete fullness. God asks us to wrestle, to strive, to struggle, to create new ways of speaking God. But even more importantly, God asks us to live our faith in the Trinity. Not to define it, not to describe it, but beloved, to do everything we can with heart and mind and body and soul to live our faith in the God who is bigger. Thanks be to God.